ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
This is the only live, local, and consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. ESPN on the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, PCreighton1. Aaron Raybould, the other side of the glass, the master controls, at Aaron is Blitzed, at ESPN97.5. And on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975. In the aftermath of deadline day, there were a couple of big buyouts. And big, I mean player name recognition, not necessarily that they got paid $100 million. But LaMarcus Aldridge and the Spurs coming to an agreement. And Andre Drummond and the Cavs coming to an agreement. These guys getting bought out and now about to basically hit the open market, go sign wherever it is that they want to sign with Drummond. The latest is he's going to listen to the Knicks, the Lakers. They're apparently the two front runners. But the Clippers, the Celtics, and the Hornets also in the mix. For LaMarcus Aldridge, the Lakers seem to be in front. The Heat seem to be in front. But he'll also listen to the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Nets. But Aldridge seems to prefer the Miami Heat right now. And it goes into, you know, look, there are a lot of guys who got traded who might ultimately wind up getting bought out. Two of them were acquired by the Rockets, Kelly Olynyk and Avery Bradley. Former Rocket Austin Rivers, Rodney Hood, Corey Joseph, Otto Porter Jr. All these guys might wind up on the buyout market. Another Rocket, Sterling Brown, might wind up on the buyout market. And all these guys will then basically shop themselves, try to find the best contender fit for what they do, and you know, try to latch on to a team that's going to have some postseason success, maybe make a run for a ring. John Wall has essentially been cursed by being a Washington Wizard his entire career until this year when he got traded to the Rockets and probably hoped he was going to get to play with James Harden in a competitive team and that he and Harden together could probably they could probably do something. But 9 games into the season, that wasn't going to happen. Judged on Harden's play, maybe 5 games into the season, we knew it wasn't going to happen because at that point, Harden really kind of stopped playing. And here's John Wall, having been on a team that is highly dysfunctional, now finding himself on another team that is highly dysfunctional. But he's 30 years old now, and time is running out. Now, when Wall has played, he's played pretty well, and he's averaging almost 32 minutes a game, 21 points, 6.5 boards. I'm sorry, 6.5 assists, 3.5 boards. He's played pretty well. He's gotten key buckets for the team when they need it. He's played defense. He's been a leader. He's done everything that the Rockets could really ask him to do, with the exception of the fact that he's, just doesn't sit on the floor enough. Wallace played 29 games. And obviously the Rockets have played like into the 40s. They've played 43 games. So he's missed 14 games. That's like a third of the season. And there'd be some of that with, you know, he wasn't going to be able to play back-to-backs. Although he has actually played one back-to-back, mainly because they needed him to play. But coming off of the Achilles and then the knee injury, it was going to be a management issue for him for health this year. And there was some speculation, would the Rockets buy out John Wall? Well, John Wall is owed an exorbitant amount of money. He's making over $41 million this year. Next year, he makes over $44 million. And then the following year, he has a player option at over $47 million. If you're John Wall, you have to understand your own mortality, that you're going to make between this year, next year, and the following year, $130 million, and you're never going to make $130 million combined after that. Like, his days of getting giant contracts are over. Now he's going to be a, you know, what, $5, $10 million player? How much is it worth it to you to buy your freedom? Because the Rockets aren't going to buy him out with, what, $91 million remaining on his contract? They're not going to buy him out at that. How much are you willing to give up if you just want your freedom? You want to be able to get away from all the losing, because, man, the losing looks like it's really wearing on John Wall. And I don't blame him, because I think the losing was wearing on him in Washington. He finally escapes Washington, and he's losing even more. So I understand that. 10 years in the league, and there's been a whole lot of losing, and then there's been serious injuries, and now there's just a whole lot of losing. You probably want a better situation. But what is it worth it to you to give up to get it? Would you give up your player option at $47 million to be able to get out? That's a lot of flipping money. Aaron, no matter how bad a situation you were in, would you be willing to give up $47 million to get out of it? Now, look, you're rich. You've got more money than you'll ever use. But $47 million is still a mammoth number. Would you ever consider giving up $47 million to get a chance to win a ring?
No.
Not a chance in hell, right?
I think the better question is, how much of a percentage of his salary is he giving up on? Like, so he's giving up $47 million. How much of a percentage of what he's made on this current contract is that?
That is 27% of his total contract. It's 4 years at $171 million.
So he's already made 75% of it.
Well,
almost.
If you, when you just all the guaranteed money. Because, well, I shouldn't say the guaranteed money, but the hard contract is 3 years, and then that last year is a player option. So if he waives the player option, instead of making 171, he makes like 125. It's a lot of money.
I'm trying to crunch this down and see exactly how much that would be worth in like my realm of finance. Because if you're telling me that I had a contract here and, say, Fred and AJ both decided to get up and leave for some reason, they got an option to go like be the new two hosts in Chicago, but didn't take me with them. And they were going to do this same show in Chicago just without me. But I was under contract here, and I could go with them if I wanted to opt out. But I would be leaving $150,000, $200,000 on the table over the next 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, however long that would take to make that math add up. No. I wouldn't be able to do that, no.
I mean, look, he's making $41 million this year, $44 million next year. So he's going to ultimately make about $125 million in those 3 years out of this deal. But I can't see there's any way the Rockets are buying him out with $91 million. I don't know how they buy him out with $44 million.
If you want out, you're going to give something up.
If he wants, like, I'm thinking you've got to give up, well, hell, like 75% of the money you're scheduled to make.
If this had been like a, say it was Harden, switch the roles. Same number, same money. Towards the end of his contract, it was Harden, who could never get anything done. Then you might convince me that they could do it and pay more and not ask him to take such a big cut because he's been there for that long. John Wall just got here. I have no loyalty to you. I sign a damn check that goes to you. That's our loyalty. That is our relationship right now. If you want to be out, cool. You're going to take a lot less money. A lot.
No, listen, I don't disagree with you at all in this report. It's, to me, he's making $41 million this year. Well, all right, he's going to get paid that. Of the $44 million for next year, are you willing to give back half of it? And say goodbye to the $47 million, because we're not touching that. If you're John Wall, are you willing to essentially give up $70 million to get your freedom? Because that's like the cost of what it's going to be if he wants out this year or after this year. If he wants out, it's got to be like $70 million that he's got to give back, or at least relinquish his rights to. He's not paying it back. He's just never going to get it.
It's so difficult to even fathom because he's already made generational money.
Yeah.
His great-great-great-grandkids will never want for anything, period. He has already made that money. He is done.
At age 30.
Yes. So it's hard to think of as, you know, regular everyday people and fathom that. Like, dude, you never have to work for anything ever again if you don't want. Then it becomes, how much do you love the game versus how much do you love you get paid for the game? We've seen this all the time. Athletes will retire, and you go, man, it feels like you still had a couple of years left in the tank. I hated playing this game. The only reason I did it is because it made me money.
Megatron.
Megatron did that, but there was an NBA star a couple of years ago, retired at like 28, 29. They were like, you could have gone and won a ring. Why? I don't care. I did this because it got me to college. I worked on my degree. I got to the NBA. I made a lot of money, and I do not want to play this game the rest of my life. That there are athletes that do that, and there are guys like a J.J. Watt out there, a James Harden, who loves the game. You can tell he loves the game. He loves the competition of it. But there are plenty of players. I'll even go as high as to say about 35% of the NBA is probably only there because it's a paycheck. Because it's a paycheck they never had fathomed when they were a child. Whether they came from money or not.
David Lee retired at 28.
Yeah. And I think if I'm remembering right, it was him. He was like, I don't. Basketball was a means to an end for me. That's all it was.
You know, and we've seen this happen in the NFL, too. We've seen a lot of guys say, you know what? I've taken enough shots to my body, to my head, to my back, to my knees. I've made money. I'm good.
You're seeing it right now. Lauren Duvernay-Tardif, starting tackle for the Chiefs. He'd been going to medical school in the off seasons. Finished his MD degree, did his internship, did his residency. Then this year, he was up in Canada because that's where he's from, helping with coronavirus. And they're like, "Hey, time to come back for stuff." And he was like, "No, I'm a doctor. I'm here to protect people. I made good money with you. I get that. I'm a very good special talent that only 0.05% of the entire population will ever think about having. but I love being a doctor. I'm here to help people. Shoving some other fat guy around, that's fun, and it makes me a lot of money, but he likes what he's very good at what he does, apparently.
When I'm 50, I won't need a walker.
Yeah, and I mean, Derrick Rose, we saw say that a million times. When he first stepped away, they said, "Why? You're so young." He said, "I've already had how many knee surgeries? I want to walk into a boardroom. I'm going to be in a boardroom when I grow up." And he said, "Grow up," but he was already in his late 20s. But he said, "When I grow up, I'm going to be in a boardroom. I'm going to walk into that boardroom. Nobody's going to wheel me in. I'm not going to struggle to stand up to shake people's hands. I want to be able to carry my kids around. I want to be able to go out in the backyard and throw the ball and shoot hoops and stuff and not have to be in constant pain."
We're going to get into the Astros next. We'll hear from Lance McCullers. We'll hear from Carlos Correa and others coming up next.
ESPN
97.5.
You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Hey, let me tell you about our friends out at the West Bar and Grill, a Beaumont institution. You know, there's no better place to watch any game than at the West. You know what? You want to watch Astros baseball? Go catch down at the West. If you are going to punish yourself and watch the Rockets play basketball, well, go enjoy all the food and drinks at the West while watching that game. Into the NCAA tournament? Well, there's four games going on tomorrow night. Catch them down at the West. You know, they got a great menu with steaks and shrimp, wings and burgers, catfish, and well, Saturday is one of their crawfish days. Wednesday and Saturday, those are crawfish night. You'll always find something great on the menu at the West. They'll have all your favorite beers and wines and spirits. So enjoy your drinks, enjoy your food while you're watching the game or while you're playing games. Because if you want to play pub games, well, they got all of them. Pool, darts, ping pong, shuffleboard, arcade games. I'm a little personal, almost preferable to the arcade games. I happen to like those ones. Happy hour, always till 6 o'clock. When you get there, ask my buddy Mike Hamilton. He's the owner. He's going to take great care of you. The West Bar and Grill, 6445 Calder Avenue in Beaumont, just half mile north of I-10. Check the Facebook page for events, The West Bar and Grill. Get your friends together. Head to the West Bar and Grill, a Beaumont institution. Well, we told you yesterday about Lance McCullers getting his extension. 5 years and $85 million. Well, McCullers meeting with the media. And here's what Lance McCullers had to say about Houston being his home.
Kind of a point of a lot of emotions, you know, running together. I think it's, I'm proud. I'm grateful. I'm overwhelmed with joy and thankfulness. You know, it's just everything. Like I said, I've loved being here so much. Houston is my home. You know, I don't ever want to leave. So I think that just being able to know that this is where I was going to be, and I had conversation with James after and Jim as well. So it was a proud moment for me. A lot of hard work, 15, 20 years goes into this. A lot of adversity. You know, few people understand. And know what goes into it goes into all this. So definitely a moment of gratitude, reflection, and definitely a proud moment for me and my family.
You know, one of the things that makes McCullers a fan favorite is, one, his social media presence, where he is all about this city, all about this team, and has no problem talking junk on anybody who throws any BS towards him or towards the Astros, or towards the city. You know, it's made him a fan favorite. And he really does seem to love being an Astro and love being here in Houston. And you hear that in his comments. I mean, look, for a guy who's a front of the rotation starter, a legitimate number two type starter with wipeout stuff, now 2 years removed from Tommy John surgery, a surgery that most guys come back stronger from. Most guys come back from Tommy John, their arms are stronger, they throw harder. They get, you know, better RPMs on their breaking pitches. So, you know, the idea of, oh, well, you know, he had Tommy John surgery, now he's going to get hurt a bunch. That's not really how it works. I think McCullers left some money on the table. And that's okay because, look, he's going to stay where he wants to be, where he's familiar, where he's basically beloved by the fan base. He knows he's going to be on a team that's going to be good. I mean, even if they're not great, even if they're not world beaters, the Astros are going to be good. And he got his security. He knows he's not going to have to worry about any kind of, you know, freak injury. And when I say freak injury, I mean, you know, like look at Framber Valdez. Fractured his finger taking a comebacker. That's not injury prone. That's bad luck. You know, but if he had an issue like that where he took a comebacker and broke his hand and he missed 8 weeks, now he doesn't have to worry about that. And that wouldn't be, quote, injury prone. That's just bad luck. So Lance McCullers is going to be here this year, and then he's got a 5-year extension on top of it. And look, the Astros have a lot of good, young, promising starters in this rotation. McCullers, Urquidy, Valdez, Javier to a degree. All of these guys are young pitchers with a lot of promise. And if you're a team in the fourth biggest city in the country, you got to be able to keep your young guys. If ultimately they do not bring back Zach Greinke, then, okay, Zach Greinke's at 38. You know, if they do bring him back, they shouldn't have to pay him an exorbitant fee. But you got to be able to keep your young guys, especially your homegrown young guys. So that was a big move for the Astros, who really, outside of, you know, bringing back Michael Brantley, mainly because it looked like he was going to Toronto with George Springer, and they kind of jumped back in last second and made him a 2-year offer to get Brantley to come back. And, you know, the desperation sign of Jake Odorizzi because of Valdez's injury. Astros didn't really do much. You know, this deal with McCullers, this is like their biggest thing they've done. It's the most money they've spent. I mean, it's the most money they've spent since they did Bregman's deal. You know, what Verlander's deal was only 2 years, so I don't think it's the same dollars. But this is the biggest deal they've done since they signed Bregman. Now, they still have to work on Carlos, and we'll get into that on the other side. We'll also hear from Dusty Baker, because the team made a move today that I wasn't really happy when I first saw it, but it turns out there might be a reason for it that's not the one we all thought. We'll get into it next.
You can't get enough of your favorite ESPN 97.5 show. We've got just the thing for you, and it's not f***ing safe for work.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
For all the uncensored interaction, head over to twitch.tv/ESPN97.5.
Say what?
Whoop! This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Let's talk about our friends out at 500 Golf Center, Southeast Texas' premier entertainment venue. You know, tomorrow the NCAA tournament gets back in a full swing. And, well, the championship game is Monday, April 5th. And we're going to be there. We're going to be broadcasting here, ESPN. We're going to be broadcasting live at 500 Golf Center Monday, April 5th for the NCAA tournament championship game. So you definitely want to come out and hang out with us and have a great time. There'll be, you know, food specials and drink specials, all kinds of great stuff going on. In the meantime, have you seen what's going on in the Topgolf Swing Suite? Have you checked out the prices lately? Because they got all kinds of discounts going on. Get there before noon, it's only $30. Get there between noon and 5, it's only $40. And if you go at the busiest time, 5 to close, well, it's only $50. And rental clubs, no fee. Rental club fees are waived right now at 500 Golf Center. If you want to go outside into the Top Tracer driving range, well, all Top Tracer driving range time is $10 off and no outdoor rental club fees. So whether you're inside the swing suite, you're outside the driving range, no club fees, discounted prices to go down to 5 under. Don't forget, you know, they've got an awesome restaurant, full service bar, places is grade A all the way. You can feel great going there by yourself, going with your buddies, going with your kids, going with your significant other. You're going to have a great time, and you're going to be in a great place no matter who you go with. And if you are, you know, someone who's really into golf, you're not just going, like, I mean, like, I'm a casual, right? I go, I like to play in the Sim Bay, and I can, you know, play golf on any course I want in the simulation bay, and then we can play zombie dodgeball afterwards. But if you're a hardcore golfer, or you're a serious golfer, they got a great pro shop. Whether you need equipment, whether you need apparel, you need to get fitted for clubs, they got all that stuff, and you can get it all there at 5 Under Golf Center. Check them out online, 5undergolf.com. That's the number 5undergolf.com. Make your reservation today. 5 Under Golf, College Street in Beaumont, quarter mile north of I-10. 5 Under Golf. So we were talking about the Astros, and, you know, we heard from Lance McCullers. So Lance's deal is done, but Carlos Correa's deal, not quite there yet. And, you know, one of the issues has been, well, according to Carlos Correa, that they made one offer a couple of weeks ago, and they've basically haven't talked anything since. Now, Carlos has been steadfast. Once the season starts, he is not going to have contract discussions. He wants to focus on the season. He wants to play the best baseball he can. He wants to be the best teammate he can be. Guys, telling Bill O'Brien there. All right, but he wants to do his best to help the Astros win a title. Here is Carlos Correa saying he is not going to change his mind. There will not be talks during the season.
Oh, absolutely not. You know, once the season starts and I start playing, you know, I'm playing my last season before I become a free agent. I'm eligible for free agency. So for me, it doesn't make any sense to be dealing while I'm trying to focus and try to perform and trying to help my team win ball games. So, yeah, absolutely not.
Now, is that a negotiating tactic? Of course it is. But it's also an understandable negotiating tactic. You know, we have seen guys play really poorly while trying to get a contract done. We saw Marwin Gonzalez struggle for a whole half because of contract uncertainty. He got his deal done. All of a sudden, he remembered how to hit in the second half. You know, and Correa, not happy with what he felt, was a low ball first offer from the team.
Oof, the way things are looking, I don't know right now. You know, the first offer, I thought it was really low. You know, if that's where how they feel about me and that's where we stand, then I guess I'll go out there and play and try to win another championship for the city of Houston and then explore free agency.
I love how his answer starts with, oof. We probably could have just played oof, and that would have told us everything we needed to know. What do you think about your contract offer? Oof. That they offered him essentially what's going to be the QO next year. It's definitely a lowball offer. My biggest issue is they knew it was a lowball offer. They haven't made another one. And why are you trying to lowball the one guy who actually stood up for your franchise last year? Who was the guy that actually went to the media and didn't put his head down and sound like he just, you know, got beaten to get his butt kicked in a corner somewhere by eight people? You know, he wasn't taking the BS from other players who were just running their mouths. And by the way, the way that we've seen players talk about A.J. Hinch and George Springer since they've moved on tells you how all the fake outrage about, oh, what the Astros did and they're all dirty cheaters was absolutely fabricated. But Carlos Correa essentially stepped up as the vocal leader of the team last year. And he's 25 years old. And his best baseball is ahead of him. And he's coming off of a postseason where he hit really well. And he's got a track record of hitting well in the postseason. Why is that not valuable to the Astros? Oh, maybe because he can't field. Oh, wait, he should have won a gold glove last year. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's got terrific range to both sides. Like, this isn't a guy who's not liked. Not liked by his teammates. This isn't a guy who's a defensive liability. This isn't a guy who's old and skills are eroding. This is the guy you pay. You don't pay the guy who's 32 and wants an eight-year deal. Wasn't that the whole, oh, well, they're not going to pay George Springer because they're going to pay Carlos Correa instead. Wrong? Because it sure looks that way. All that nonsense, oh, you know, they can't pay everybody. So what, only if Carlos takes a big discount? He took a discount when he first signed with the team. You know, when they were allocating all their slot money, he took a discount then so that they could sign more guys and be able to sign them coming out of the draft. Now we should take another one? No, this is the guy they should pay. Asked about how his swing feels, how he feels about his swing. Well, Correa, let's just say he's happy with it.
Woo, my swing feels sexy, brother. My swing feels sexy. I got to tell you, you know, what I figure out in the playoffs, I think it's carrying through the spring, so it's carrying through the season. I'm barreling balls everywhere. I've seen the ball great. I never felt better in the last week of spring training in my career. I think this is the best I felt. You know, my defense, I feel great, getting great jumps at shortstop. And then my at-bats, man, I've been barreling a lot of balls lately, so. You know, that gives you a lot of confidence going into the season and obviously makes you feel good.
He's barreling balls. You know, if Correa comes out of the gate and he's hitting the crap out of the ball in April and the Astros didn't get a deal done, they're going to hear about it. It's not just going to be a local story. It's going to be a national story that the Astros have a 25-year-old star shortstop who they tried to lowball, and they didn't get him done, and here he is smacking the hell out of the baseball in April. And put a lot of pressure on the team. He's a well-liked guy that his teammates want to see in town. And you know what? If you get to April and they haven't made a deal, and he's hitting, like, okay, well, we better do something about it. You're going to have to call up his agent, and you're going to have to meet some prices, because you're definitely not getting any kind of discount. Once April 1st comes, that is a guarantee. We'll go into the home stretch next. We'll hear from Dusty Baker as the team released a guy that, you know, a couple of weeks ago, well, hell, even last week, looked like he had a shot to be on the roster opening day. We'll get into why that happened and how the Astros fare tonight against the Marlins. We'll get to that in the home stretch next. Would you ever do that for me?
ESPN 97.5. I assumed you knew. You are listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Hey, join us for Lucille's 1913 inaugural golf tournament, Monday, April 12th at Herman Park. Proceeds will benefit nonprofit Lucille's 1913 and the Amani School. The tournament will be an 18-hole scramble with a 12 p.m. shotgun start. Food provided by Lucille's 1913, including the box lunches in the style of the individually packed meals that Lucille's 1913 creates for the community. Following the tournament, all golfers treated to a seated, socially distanced dinner on an exquisite, one-of-a-kind stage set up as a hazard on the 18th fairway. Complimentary beverages provided throughout the tournament by Silver Eagle and Highway Vodka. Register now at eventbrite.com. So, all you golfers out there, you want to have a good time. That tournament will be a good time. I mean, I don't play golf like on the golf course. I'll go to the driving range and I'll go to the sim bay and I'll have fun. But like, I don't play out on the golf course. But I'll go hang out and eat and drink on the golf course. That's always fun. I'll drive the golf cart around. I like to drive the golf cart around. Don't ask why. I like to drive the golf cart around. I promise no paintball guns will be used on any golf carts driving around. That was a fun night in college that got us banned from a golf course forever. Now, earlier today, it was announced that the Astros had released reliever Steve Cishek. Now, Cishek, after his first outing, has been really good. Hasn't given up a run since his first outing of the spring. And there was some concern that Cishek was going to be a casualty of the fact that the Astros, you know, close to the CBT tax line. You know, he was a non-roster invitee. He's on a minor league contract, and if he makes the big club, he'd have a $2.25 million salary. Now, Cishek is a proven veteran reliever who has a lot of closing experience. And when he got released today, because of the talk about, oh, well, you know, they might let him go just to not pay him because of the tax situation, probably didn't make Astros fans happy. Didn't make me happy. Dusty Baker then later on addressed what happened with Steve Cishek.
If he was going to make the club or not, you know what I mean? And so, you know, we hate to see him go, because he was, you know, he was definitely in the running, but we hadn't made up our mind yet. So it's always tough. It's a tough time of the year, you know.
How does that kind of hamper you bullpen wise? You said Scrubs probably not going to be available. Now you got a couple of arms that maybe you could have been counting on that aren't going to be around to start the year, and probably won't be around at all.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you don't know, you know, where we're regrouping now. I mean, we were going to have a problem, you know, pretty soon anyway, with, you know, with Baez coming back, with Scrub coming back. That kind of, you know, it surprised us some, but like I said, it was, hadn't made up our minds yet if he was going to be on the club or not.
So it sounds like Cishek could read the writing on the wall, which was the Astros were having a lot of debate about whether or not they were going to keep him because of the money he was going to be owed. And he asked for his release so he could go try to latch on with another team that was going to pay him and not kind of hang him out there in the middle of no man's land, not knowing what's going on. And you heard the questions asked, and that audio, you know, courtesy of our buddy Mark Berman of Fox 26. You heard the question asked, you know, you've got some issues in the bullpen with guys who aren't necessarily going to be ready. Andre Scrub, Pedro Baez, guys, you know, who had COVID tracing issues and stuff like that. They're not going to be ready to start the season. You know, Josh James not going to be ready to start the season. There's a handful of guys that the Astros have who either aren't healthy, just aren't ready. They're not up to speed yet because they missed time, whether it was an injury or whether it was COVID tracing. And again, Cishek, a veteran reliever who was pitching well, and they hadn't decided yet if they were going to put him on the roster. That we are less than a week to opening day, and they have as many question marks about who's healthy, who's not, who's ready, who's not, who's going to be ready and when. And they hadn't decided to keep Cishek on the roster yet. Tells you that the $2.25 million that he was going to make if he made the roster was absolutely an issue for the Astros, who are very, very close to the tax line right now. And this bothers me because the Astros act like they are scared to death of the tax. A tax that next year might not exist. CBA's up at the end of the year. There may not be a tax next year. If there is, it's probably not going to look anything like what it does now. So to act like you're scared to death of it, I don't understand that. Shouldn't winning be more important than, we might have to pay a little bit of tax? Right now, according to SpotTrack, the Astros are $6 million under the tax line. Now, that's not payroll. There's more than just payroll that goes into that. You know, this isn't your 26-man. This is your 40-man roster. Because right now, the Astros' actual team payroll is $181 million. That's their 25-man, will be eventually be the 26-man roster. But when you get into how the tax is calculated, they've only got $6 million worth of room. And if they add Cishek on to the roster, again, he's a non-roster invitee, he's not on the 40-man, they have to add him. That would put that $2.25 million in, and their six would become 375. And the Astros are acting like they're scared to death. If they hit the tax, the whole building's going to implode. And I don't understand that action. I don't understand that logic. You know, don't tell me it's about winning and then tell me, well, it's really about, you know, making sure we don't go 1 cent over that luxury tax. This isn't a team that's we should be worried about. They might pay this small amount. This is a team that's been to 4 straight ALCS. They have a shot. And shouldn't you always be trying to give yourself the absolute best shot? I expect you to start the season with the best possible players that you have on your roster. Not the best possible players, well, except for this guy or that guy, you know, because we gotta hem down the money here and there. It's embarrassing for the Astros to act that way. It's embarrassing. You're not a mid-market team. This isn't Astros 85. You're the fourth biggest city in the country. You're the only team in town that's worth a damn. You know, 10 years ago, Jim Crane bought the Astros for $680 million. They're worth $2.2 billion today. Don't give me your poverty. Don't give me, oh, we don't have the money. They got the money. They got plenty of money. Go get us the best team and get us another ring, because that's what we're all hoping for. Texans and the Rockets sure as hell aren't. Say thank you to our buddy Kel Dansby for joining us on the program today. ESPN ringside, our callers, our texters, our tweeters, our twitchers. Aaron Raybould on the other side of the glass. We're back Monday night at 7 o'clock. Have a great weekend, H-Town.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.